Right, Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look to begin with at verse 3. Looking at last week, we preached the message on the divided man and talked about the two of you. If you're saved, you have an old nature and a new nature. And today we are going to look at another idea following this line of thought. And today we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at the natural man, and we're going to look at the carnal man. The natural man and the carnal man, we will tell you the differences according to the Bible in these two things. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 says this, among whom also we all, that's absolutely every one of us, isn't it? We all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Let's pray, and we'll look at the scriptures this morning. Father, I pray as we look at your word that we will have a good understanding of the natural man, that is, the man without the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Father, that we will come to a realization that even those who have the Lord Jesus Christ can be carnal or fleshly men. And I pray that you would convict this morning, God, that you would stir people's hearts, that we would truly have a desire to be neither a natural man, as in an unsaved person, or that we would have no desire to be a carnal man, and that would be a saved person living after the ways of the natural man, the flesh. God, I pray that you would stir us. God, I pray that you would give us victory in our Christian walk every day of our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, we notice that every single one of us had our conversation, which is lifestyle, our lifestyle, in times past in the lust of our flesh. Before you knew Jesus, you lived for you. You did what you wanted to do, and there was nothing outside guiding your, nothing inside, I should say, guiding your life into the things of God. You just lived your life according to what your flesh wanted, what you decided to do. There was no basis on what the Word of God said. It was just you. The Bible continues on to say, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You just did what you wanted to do. And it says, we're by nature the children of wrath, even by as others. The Bible talks about wrath, the wrath of God, of course, being the destination, the punishment for sin, eternity in an everlasting lake of fire. A place called hell, and hell itself being cast into a lake of fire for all eternity. And so, by nature, every one of us, we were born, we had a sin nature, and we were on our way to an eternal condemnation, eternity in hell. We just lived for ourselves. That's what the natural man is. That's what the person is who does not know and has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says in Jude, verse 19, the book of Jude, right before Revelation, second to the last book of the Bible, Jude, and verse 19, it says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. So there are people, they are living according to their senses. Okay, what are the senses? The things they see, the things they touch, the things they hear, the things they smell, the things they taste. And the sensual just has to do with the senses. And it says these people have not the Spirit of God. These people are unsaved. They have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, a person who is not saved, who does not have the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, whose life is not guided by the Word of God, what do? They live according to their senses. The world would call this phrase, if it feels good, do it. And that's how they lived. They live according to their feelings. They say, well, I felt. They say, well, I feel like. Or they say phrases like this, I don't feel like this is wrong. Those are sensual sayings. They are people reacting and living according to their feelings. That's what the natural man does. That's what the man who is not guided by the Word of God, that's how they live. They just do what they want to do, what they feel like doing. There is no absolutes of morality. There are no absolutes of the Word of God in their life. It's just they feel like something. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Okay, here's the third thing. So the natural man, first of all, he was controlled by the desires of the flesh. The natural man, secondly, is controlled by his senses. He just does what he feels like doing. Thirdly, the natural man has no spiritual discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So there are some things of God. There are some things that are right, some things that are wrong. These are things that the world does not understand. The world does not understand a young man and a young lady who say, "I am not going to kiss, I am not going to hold hands, I'm not going to touch until I am actually married." Does the world comprehend that even? They don't understand it, they don't grasp it. In fact, the world looks and says, "This is foolishness." The Bible teaches that it is correct and right. It is no more right for a young man to hold hands with his girlfriend than it would be right for me to hold hands with his girlfriend. That would be wrong. In fact, that young man would probably take high offense if I were to come up and say, "Well, I want to hold your girlfriend's hand." He'd say, "Well, why can you do, you can't do that." And I'd say, "Well, I agree with you. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that because it's not my wife." Well, the same thing should apply to him. It's not his wife yet. And this is complete biblical sense. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. But to the world, that is absolute nonsense. They don't think like that. They have no spiritual discernment. They are not guided by the things of God. They are not guided by God's Word. And to them, it says it is foolishness. There's no spiritual discernment. And that's just one application. You could look at, why do you get up and go to church for Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night? Why do you go to church again on Wednesday night? To the world, to the people of the flesh, they look at this and they say, "Well, that doesn't make any sense." But to a person who understands the Word of God, it makes complete sense. That's why we're here today. That's why you all have come out to be with us today, because you want something from the Word of God to feed your spirit, to go forward for God in your life. That is the desire that we have. So that is the natural man. The natural man is simply the unsaved man doing what his flesh desires, doing what he feels like doing without any discernment of right and wrong according to the Word of God. Sometimes culture somewhat dictates right and wrong. If culture is biblical, people will be influenced by that no matter what. But if culture, as culture goes away from the Bible, people grow up with no conscience of right or wrong, and it is the Word of God that gives our conscience what it ought to be. So that's the natural man. Now the carnal man is something different. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And here's where we're going to spend our time. Romans chapter 8. Before we read this, if you're here today and you're not saved, you are a natural man. You need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your destination as a natural man is a child of wrath. You're on your way to hell. You need to turn from your sin, turn to Jesus Christ, repent, trust Him as your Savior, put your faith completely in Him and Him alone, and let Him. He already did the work. All you have to do is accept it. He already paid for the gift of eternal life and righteousness before God. All you have to do is receive it and accept it. If you're here and you're a natural man, get saved. Get saved. But the second thing is the carnal man. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death." What is carnal? The word carnivore, you understand what a carnivore is. A carnivore is a flesh-eating animal. So the word carnal simply has to do with the flesh. So a carnal man, obviously in Romans 8, the chapter starts out and says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So is the chapter written to saved people? Yeah, absolutely. It's written to saved people. These people, though, saved people that live like an unsaved person in the Bible, these people are called carnal. They're called carnal. So the Bible says concerning saved people in verse 5, it says, "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man," now look at this, "the carnal man is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So there are people that are carnally minded. They live as if they were never saved. They think the way the world thinks. They think after the things of the flesh. There is not a spiritual thought in them. And it says in the Bible that the carnal mind is enmity against God. So what does that mean? See, the carnal man, after he got saved, the things of the Word of God never replaced the things of Hollywood. The church never replaced sports. Modesty in their life never replaced fashion. Humility never replaced pride. Witnessing never replaced gossip. And we could go on and on. See, a person, if they get saved and then continue to live like the world, continue to enjoy the things of the world more than the things of God, the Bible says that line of thinking is actually enmity against God. You think, how does this work? You know, the desire for sin makes God their enemy. A person who is saved, but they have a desire to still live in sin, try to tell them what is right and see how they react. Most people that want to sin, even though they got saved sometime in their life, if they want to sin and you try to tell them this is wrong, see how they react, and you'll see they actually are at enmity with God. They do not receive the correction of the Word of God because they just want to continue on in their sin. Take a person or a couple people, they're married, they're saved, they come to church, and they decide that they can no longer live with one another, and they start heading toward divorce. And you go to them and say, look, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 2 that the Lord hateth putting away. How many that have started down that track will turn around and say, oh, God hates that, so I'm not going to do that? Honestly, very few, right? Maybe 1 in 1,000 will put a halt to the direction that they're going, say, this direction does not please God, and they'll turn around and say, you know what? We're not going to get a divorce because it's not right. We're going to live for God. We're going to do the right thing. How many turn around? How many people that are carnally minded, when the Word of God is shown to them, how many of them will turn in their tracks and come back to the things of God and come back to what's right? Honestly, very few. Tell a person that who is living in opposition to the Bible, show them that they're living opposed to the Bible. How do they respond? Why is it that our churches who do not preach on hell, who do not preach against sin, are the mega churches? How did they become mega? By having a lot of people. How did they get a lot of people? Well, if you don't talk about hell and you don't talk about sin, all you do is motivational speaking and just say, oh, everything is just love, love, love. Well, you've left out 90% of the Bible. The Bible strongly talks about sin. The Bible strongly talks about hell. Jesus Christ talked 3 times more about hell than he did about heaven in his earthly ministry. And you think about that. Why are the mega churches the ones that don't talk about hell and don't talk about sin? Because people are carnally minded. Now, maybe there's saved people that go there, but they're carnally minded. They go there because it's a place that will give them their rock music. It's a place that won't condemn their adultery. It's a place that won't condemn the sin that they're in. And so they feel good. But what's the problem with that? The natural man lives by his feelings. So these people are carnally minded. And honestly, God becomes, when God says, when the Bible says, this is wrong, all of a sudden the Bible is the enemy. Or when the Christian who will stand up and say, you know what, you're living in sin, this is wrong, all of a sudden that Christian person who just has their well-being in mind, that person all of a sudden is the person who is their enemy. And that's the way that they think. Carnal Christians fill the churches of America. These people, they do not hate wickedness. These people don't hate drugs. They don't hate prostitution. They don't hate adultery. They don't hate fornication. They don't hate sodomy. They don't hate gambling. They don't hate the disfiguration of the body with piercing and tattoos. They don't hate the things that God hates. A person who is a saved person ought to hate the things that God hates. A person who follows the Word of God, who is a spiritual man, if God says he hates something, should you hate it? Obviously. So a person who is saved, but who does not hate the things that God hates, is that person spiritually minded or carnally minded? They're carnally minded. We don't want to be carnal Christians. Then there's a group of people who they would not directly participate in those things, but they enjoy watching other people commit those sins on television. But you know what people don't want in this day and age? You know what Christians don't want? They don't want someone that will take the Word of God and show them their error and point out that they're wrong. You know what? If I'm wrong, I want the Word of God to show me how to be right. If I'm in a sin, I want the Word of God to show me that that thing is sin so that I can get it right. Why? Because I want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. A spiritually minded Christian, you get saved. Do you know everything that's in the Bible? Lathan, when you got saved, did you know everything that was in the Bible? Absolutely not. When I got saved, I didn't know everything that was in the Bible. Any person, when you got saved, did you know that the Bible said this and that? You know, how many of you honestly knew all of the Ten Commandments when you got saved? Now, if you were a little kid, you might have. You might have memorized them in Sunday school class or something, and they actually brought you to that point of conviction. But we don't know everything the Bible teaches. So when you get saved, you have just turned from being on your way to hell. You've just repented of your sins. You've turned to Jesus Christ. Are you all the way over next to where God wants you to be yet? No, honestly, you've just turned. The things that you know are still the things of the flesh. But now you're headed in a different direction. So what the Bible is there, it tells you, this is right. And so you say, oh, I want to do right. It says, this is wrong. Oh, I don't want to do wrong. And every time the Bible shows you something in your life that's not right, you ought to be taking another step toward Jesus Christ. You're as saved as you can be over here. But when you get from being a carnal person to a spiritual person, you're a person who takes the Word of God and says, the Word of God is not my enemy. The Word of God is my friend. The Word of God is going to show me the truth. The Word of God is going to lay out the best possible life for me. It's going to help me walk with God every day of my life. But here's what often happens. A person gets saved, they come, and the Word of God says, here's a sin. And they look at it and they say, but I like that sin. Oh, the flesh does. But the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you says, no, it's wrong, it's sin, don't do it. And then there's a battle that takes place. And the person has a choice to either start to live like a spiritual man or to continue to live like the natural man, in which case they are a carnal Christian. A Christian who will not think like the Bible thinks, but thinks after the things of the flesh. Secondly, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So the carnal man is at enmity with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The second thing, the carnal man causes division and strife. The carnal man causes division and strife. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So, is he speaking to Christians? Okay, so but he's telling them, you're Christians, you're saved people. These people are part of the church of Corinth. They're saved people, but he says, I could not even speak to you like spiritual people because there's this carnality in your life. You're still operating like the natural man. You're still thinking like the people of the world. And here's what was going on in this church. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now we look at milk and the meat. Milk is the basics of the Word of God. Meat, Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. The meat is when you actually look into the Christian living and you start to do the will of God. That's meat. It's the things that we lay out that we do. It's not a higher doctrine, a better understanding about the rapture. That's not meat. Those things were given as the basics to the church of Thessalonica. It was, you know, this is just basic doctrine. Salvation, the rapture, things of the future and all of that. The meat is when you actually start living the Christian life. It becomes, and you get into sound doctrine. But he says, look, you were not even able to bear the things of sound doctrine. You are not able to bear those things that you needed. He says, for ye are yet carnal. You're saved, but you're thinking like the world. Ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you, look, envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now the church ought to walk in unity. But the church of Corinth was a carnal church. They were more comfortable in the wickedness of the world than they were in the godliness of the things of God. This church had all kinds of division. In the church of Corinth, if a person got recognized for their service for God, said, boy, this person did this for the Lord, praise God, somebody else would say, why didn't they recognize me? That's carnality. It's wanting to put oneself to the forefront. It's causing division. There's strife. Well, they got to make that decision, and I didn't get to make that decision. Why did they ask him and not me what they thought about that? You know what that is? That's carnality. It's something that causes division. There's strife. People still thinking like the world. And so it continues on and says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? The church was divided. Carnal Christians can hang out with lost people all day long with their crude jokes, their swearing, their fornicating talk, but they have a hard time hanging around God's people and carrying on a conversation about the things of God. Where people talk about the Bible, where people condemn the wickedness of the day. You take the difference. I'm not comfortable around the people of the world. When people start talking crude, I'm not comfortable. The Holy Spirit of God inside says, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't partake in this kind of stuff. And that crowd, all I want to do is get away from them. And if I am with that crowd, I have one purpose for being there. You guys need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get saved. In which case, if they're not willing to do so, they separate from you because they all of a sudden aren't comfortable around you. But the people of God and the people of the world, how can they truly be comfortable around one another? They're two totally opposite beings. Carnal Christians, you think about, oh, all throughout the country, in the name of homeschool groups, they get together with other people because they share that one thing. But that group includes people from the cults. It includes Bible deniers. It includes false doctrine. It includes people that have no Bible standards. Oh, but because they're homeschoolers, we can get together. Well, you know, I wouldn't want to be around a group of people that deny the Bible. Yeah, sure, maybe we have this one thing in common. But why would I want to be around and hang around and make my friends people that are Bible deniers or people that are part of some cult like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or things like that? I have no identifying identity with them. My identity is with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's with the things of the Word of God. And you have to think, who do I feel comfortable around? You go to a place like that and you take a stand, and all of a sudden they're not comfortable around you. See, because they can't get along. The world and God can't get along, but Christian people ought to be able to get along. Here we had a church, and the people in the church couldn't get along because they were carnal. I went, my mom's auction for some of her stuff was last Saturday in the afternoon, and we went over to that. And at that auction, someone came up to me. It was someone that I used to go to school with. At Christian school in Fairfield, Faith Christian Academy. And the person, I was having just a conversation with that person. And she says to me, oh, let me show you some pictures of the school reunion that we had a couple years ago. And she pulls out her phone. And I'm seeing people that I knew that were taught right and lived right back then. And all of a sudden, there are people that completely look like the world, and the things and the actions that took place were worldly and ungodly actions. And I'm thinking, I at the time of that reunion, I was over in Russia, but I'm thinking, I would not have felt comfortable. Are they Christian people? Sure. Saved? Saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but they're carnal. I'm not comfortable with carnal Christians. Why would I be comfortable with carnal Christians? We don't think the same. And you think about this, a man who is a spiritual person, their life is guided by the Word of God. But carnal Christians live after the flesh as if the Word of God didn't even exist. I ask, well, hey, what about this person? What are they doing? So, oh, well, they're tending a bar in Des Moines. Like, what happened? Well, I know the person. I know they got saved when they were a kid. What happened? They're carnal. They think carnally. They think like the things of the world. The Bible does not guide their life. Does not guide their life. The carnal man will be followed by strife and division wherever he goes inside the church. He's angry, jealous, envious, unforgiving. Those are all carnal attributes. They're not godly. The carnal man can't help others grow for one of two reasons. As Christians, what is our goal? We should help other people grow, right? Our desire, our goal. You know, when a person comes in and they get saved, what do you want to do? You want to help them grow. The carnal man, either because he doesn't have the patience with people that are in the same sins that he used to be in and is no longer in, he can't help them to grow because he won't be patient with them. That's carnality. You know what? When people come in, just like we didn't know everything that the Word of God said when we got saved, and the things that we knew, we loved God. Boy, I'm glad I got saved. But I didn't know yet necessarily that rock music was wrong. Or I didn't know yet necessarily that drinking was wrong, or I didn't know yet necessarily that smoking was wrong, or I didn't know yet necessarily that some of these other things were wrong. Well, guess what? Those people need patience. Because eventually, the Word of God will be opened. The Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, will convict their heart of that sin, and then we try to help them grow. But if we don't have patience with them, how can we help them grow? There's got to be some patience. And yet, we cannot compromise on the Word of God. The other reason they can't grow is because some people, on the other side of carnality, they just take the people and coddle them in their sin and won't even say that it's wrong. That's the other side of carnality. Well, they can't help the person grow because they won't tell people the truth. This is what's happening in the vast majority of churches. They get people in, and maybe the people do get saved, but they won't tell them the truth. You've got to tell the truth. The truth of the Word of God has to be preached. You can't not preach about a sin because you think somebody may be uncomfortable about it. The whole idea is that they're uncomfortable about it, that the Word of God reveals to them it's a light that spotlights their sin so that they'll grow, so that they'll move this direction, so that they'll grow in their life. So the carnal man causes division and strife no matter which way they look at it. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Thirdly, concerning the carnal man. First, the carnal man is at enmity with God. They hate it when someone tells them that they're wrong. Secondly, the carnal man causes division and strife in a number of ways. Thirdly, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So, thirdly, the carnal man acts in the present without considering the consequences. See, what does the fleshly man do? What does the natural man do? He acts on his feelings. The carnal man acts in the moment. He does not think about, if I sow this seed, what kind of plant is going to grow? The carnal man says, I have a whole bunch of thistle seeds. And, well, it's the seed I've got on hand. Let me plant those in my garden. Woe unto that man. The next year, if he tries to plant something else, it's going to be full of thistles. You don't just take what's on hand. You say, these thistle seeds are no good to me. Let me go down and get some corn seeds. Or let me go down and but I have to go to the store to do that. And that's going to take me some time. But the thinking man is going to think that process out, and he's going to do what it takes to get the good seed, to get the seed that he needs. So the natural man, he just does whatever feels good at the moment, never considering, what is this going to lead to? If I plant this seed today, what is this going to do to my mind in the future? If I plant this seed today, what is it going to do to my family in the future? If I plant this seed today, am I going to reap it in my children? See, the spiritual man, the person who's not carnal, they're looking at it and they're saying, I don't want to plant the wrong seed. They're looking into the future rather than looking at the moment. But the carnal man, he just does what feels good for the moment. I don't feel like going to church. So you don't go. You just planted a seed. You know what seed you've planted? Your children grow up, think, church is kind of important, but it's not all that important, and I can miss when I want to, and it's not that big a deal. That's the seed that gets planted. Now, the spiritual man, he's going to look at that and say, I don't want to plant that seed. I want to think this through. I want this I want to plant the right seed that's going to produce the right fruit all the way along. But the carnal man is going to say, ah, this is what I feel like now. It doesn't matter. And they plant the seeds of unfaithfulness. They plant the seeds of wickedness. They plant the seeds sometime of just downright sin, because they live for now, just like the natural man. Fourthly, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. The carnal man gets more involved in physical agendas than in spiritual things. Let's look at this. Verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. How many of you are saved today? Okay, we live in the flesh, right? We live in the flesh until God releases us from the flesh and we go up to heaven. Or until the trumpet sounds and we get translated in midair out of the flesh. We live in it. But he says we don't war after the flesh. We aren't thinking, we aren't living after the flesh. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The carnal man realizes that our weapons are not carnal. He realizes the things of eternity are far more important than the things of this world. Carnal people, and look, I want you to get this right. Don't take this too far. They'll campaign for political candidates, but they'll never witness along the way. Campaigning for someone's not wrong. Get involved in things that you can. But if all the right people get into office in the White House and the Congress and all of that, and nobody gets saved, what have we accomplished? Nothing. For eternity, we've accomplished nothing. And so, yes, get involved, but witness along the way. People will join in relief programs to ease the physical needs of people for a few years. But they'll let those same people that they're worried about their physical needs die and go to hell and never tell them. See, is charity a good thing? Well, sure it is. Is helping someone physically a good thing? Absolutely. But is helping them physically and letting them die and go to hell spiritually, is that a good thing? You know, you can feed the entire country of Africa if you could. And guess what? If they don't get saved, they're going to eat for a few years and go to hell forever. Is that helping them? It's not. So it's not the carnal man. Boy, it's program after program and item after item, but they never think about, well, wait a minute. In the process of while I'm helping these people, I've got to get them saved. Or I've at least got a witness to them. And do that. See, our real enemy is not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats. It's not NATO. It's not the IRS. It's not chemicals in our food, and it's not chemtrails. Our real enemy is sin. Our real enemy is false religion that condemns people to hell because they're not getting the truth of the gospel. That's a true enemy. Our real enemy is carnality itself. Our real enemy is the wickedness of this satanic world. And so while we want to be involved and we want to influence people for right, we must influence them for eternity as well. You know, it's a great thing to be involved in the community. But if you never, while you're involved in that community thing, if you never witness, what good is it? You put in some time. for something that is going to fade away. It has no eternal value. But if you can get involved in that thing of the community and along the way you witness and someone gets saved, all of a sudden there's some spiritual fruit going on. This world has made it hard to be involved in certain things and be a witness. Many Christians have just shut up so that they can stay involved. Now get involved and be a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the end, not just the moment of the fleshly thing that we're doing. The carnal man is at enmity with God. The carnal man causes division and strife. The carnal man acts in the present without considering the consequences. And the carnal man gets more involved in physical agendas than spiritual things. You think about these things. We as a church need to be spiritual people, not carnal, not walking after the flesh, but following the things of the Spirit of God. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have an invitation. If God has spoken to your heart about something,